This week, Japan committed to investing $2.3 trillion in technologies like quantum computing and AI by 2040. To put that in perspective, that's more than the entire annual GDP of Italy. The question for Western executives is no longer if quantum computing will arrive, but who will control the supply chains, the intellectual property, and the competitive advantage when it does. You're listening to Troy Technical Intelligence, your weekly briefing on the technology that's reshaping industry. I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy. This week, we saw an unprecedented wave of announcements in quantum computing. It's a clear signal that the technology is shifting from a physics problem to an engineering and geopolitical race.
We're seeing breakthroughs in the core technology, new strategies for manufacturing the chips, and massive government investments. It feels like we've hit an inflection point.
That's exactly right. Today, we'll break down the four key trends from this week. First, the accelerated race to build a fault-tolerant, reliable quantum computer. Second, the crucial breakthroughs in actually manufacturing these machines at scale. Third, the geopolitical chessboard as nations place massive bets on quantum leadership. And finally, the immediate security threat that demands action now.
Let's start with the technology itself, Troy. We saw major news from Microsoft, Google, and a host of startups. What's the big picture?
The big picture is the sprint towards fault tolerance. Quantum computers are incredibly fragile. The slightest interference, what we call decoherence, creates errors. A fault-tolerant machine is one that can correct these errors in real time. This week, we saw several different paths to that goal accelerate.
So different teams are placing different bets. What was Microsoft's move?
Microsoft unveiled its Majorana 2 chip. It's a topological quantum computer, and they've achieved a 1,000-fold improvement in coherence time, extending it to 20 seconds. This is a massive leap in stability, so much so that they've pulled their timeline for a fault-tolerant computer forward from 2033 to 2029.
4 years sooner. And Google?
Google took a different approach. They used a reinforcement learning agent, an AI, to actively calibrate their 105-qubit Willow chip during computation. This improved error correction stability by 3.5 times. They're using AI to manage the fragility of the quantum state, which is a powerful convergence of technologies.
What does this rapid progress mean for U.S. and European manufacturers?
It means the timeline for quantum-driven R&D is shrinking. A fault-tolerant machine could revolutionize material science and logistics optimization. Think designing new alloys without a physical foundry or solving intractable supply chain problems. European firms like Rolls-Royce are already partnering with Quantinuum to explore fluid dynamic simulations. This is moving from theory to application planning.
And for trading companies and distributors?
They need to watch the emerging quantum software and cloud platforms. Companies like Logical Qubit Technology just launched a 100-qubit cloud platform. Access to these machines is becoming commoditized. The opportunity lies in building expertise now to offer quantum-powered optimization services to your clients later, whether in finance or logistics.
So, the actionable insight for executives?
Establish a small internal R&D team to explore quantum use cases. Identify one high-value problem, like materials discovery or a specific logistics bottleneck that is currently unsolvable. Begin experimenting on cloud platforms from IBM, Amazon Braket, or others. The goal isn't to get an answer today, but to build the expertise to be ready for 2029.
Okay, so the core technology's advancing, but how do you actually build these things? I hear they require exotic, lab-like conditions.
That has been the primary bottleneck, but a major breakthrough this week directly challenges that. Researchers from Dirac and IMEC in the Netherlands demonstrated an 8-qubit silicon chip built using a standard 300-millimeter CMOS industrial process.
CMOS? That's the same technology used to make the chips in our phones and computers, right?
Precisely. This is arguably the most commercially significant development of the week. It proves you can manufacture quantum processors on the same assembly lines as classical processors. It transforms quantum from a bespoke, lab-grown device into something that can leverage the immense existing global semiconductor manufacturing infrastructure.
That sounds huge. How does this specifically affect U.S. and European manufacturers?
For electronics and high-tech manufacturers, this is a massive opportunity. It de-risks the entire quantum supply chain. Instead of building new multi-billion-dollar quantum foundries, companies can partner with existing players like GlobalFoundries, TSMC, or Intel. It opens the door for Western manufacturers to become key suppliers in the quantum industry without starting from scratch.
So what should trading companies and distributors be focused on?
The materials.
This was underscored by the U.S. Department of Energy's announcement of a breakthrough in domestic supply chains for isotopically enriched silicon and germanium. These ultra-pure materials are the essential feedstock for these new chips. Sourcing and securing these specialized materials will be a critical and lucrative part of the value chain.
And what's the actionable takeaway here?
If you're in the semiconductor ecosystem, from equipment makers to material suppliers, you need to develop a quantum strategy now. Engage with firms like Dirac and iMac. Evaluate how your existing processes and materials can be adapted for silicon spin qubit fabrication. This isn't a future opportunity. The integration into the existing supply chain has already begun.
With all this technical progress, it's no surprise we're also seeing governments making major moves. You mentioned Japan's $2.3 trillion plan. What's happening in the U.S. and Europe?
The U.S., Europe, and Japan are all accelerating their national strategies, but with different approaches. The U.S. Commerce Department just announced a $2 billion investment, but with a twist. They are taking minority equity stakes in 9 quantum companies. The government is shifting from being a grant provider to a venture investor.
So the U.S. government wants a return on its investment and a seat at the table. How does that compare to Europe?
Europe is more focused on building collaborative, sovereign infrastructure. France just committed an additional 1 billion euros to its national plan, focused on industrialization. The U.K. launched the 3rd cohort of its Quantum Technology Access Program, or QTAP, directly partnering companies like NatWest Bank with quantum firms to solve real-world problems like fraud detection. It's a very hands-on, application-driven approach.
This creates a complex global landscape. How does this affect U.S. and European manufacturers?
It means your location determines your opportunities for partnership and funding. A manufacturer in Tennessee can now tap into a new $3 million state fund to work with Oak Ridge National Laboratory. A company in France can leverage the new CNRS industrialization strategy. It's critical to understand the national and regional programs where you operate. These are no longer just federal R&D programs. They are becoming powerful economic development engines.
What about for trading and sourcing?
The geopolitical lines are being drawn. As Japan aims for a made-in-Japan integrated quantum solution and the U.S. aims to secure its domestic supply chain, sourcing will become more strategic. Western trading companies should focus on building robust supply networks within aligned nations, the U.S., EU, UK, Canada, and Japan. Relying on a single non-aligned source for critical quantum components will soon be untenable.
What should executives be doing about this?
Map your company's footprint against these national quantum strategies. Identify opportunities for public-private partnerships. And most importantly, have your government relations team actively engaging with these programs. The funding and strategic advantages are being allocated now, and you need to be part of that conversation.
This all leads to the one topic every executive is worried about: security. We keep hearing that quantum computers will break all current encryption. How real is that threat today?
The threat is very real, but it's nuanced. The risk isn't that a quantum computer will decrypt your data tomorrow. The risk is what's called a harvest now, decrypt later attack. Adversaries are recording massive amounts of encrypted data today, storing it, and waiting for a fault-tolerant quantum computer to exist in the future, perhaps by Microsoft's 2029 target, to decrypt it all.
So secrets stolen today could be revealed in 5 or 10 years. That's a huge problem for any company with long-term intellectual property, financial data, or national security information.
Exactly. And the U.S. government is now treating this with extreme urgency. The White House just issued an executive order mandating that federal agencies migrate to post-quantum cryptography, or PQC, with full implementation by the end of 2030.
What does that actually mean for companies? What is PQC?
PQC refers to new encryption algorithms that can run on our existing classical computers, but are believed to be resistant to attack by a future quantum computer. This is essentially a software and firmware upgrade. It's distinct from quantum key distribution, or QKD, which uses quantum physics to create physically secure communication channels, but requires new, specialized hardware.
How should U.S. and European manufacturers prepare for this PQC transition?
They need to start immediately. This executive order will cascade down through the entire government supply chain. If you sell to the U.S. government, you will be required to be PQC compliant. For manufacturers, this means auditing all your connected devices, from factory floor IoT sensors to back office systems, and planning a firmware upgrade path. Companies like QuickLogic and PQ Secure are already offering reprogrammable PQC solutions for chips to make this easier.
And for trading and distribution companies?
Your security is your reputation. You need to ensure the systems managing your logistics, customer data, and financial transactions are on a clear path to PQC compliance. This becomes a competitive differentiator. You can assure your partners that data shared with you today will remain secure against quantum attacks in 2030.
So the final actionable insight is an urgent one.
It is. Executives must direct their CIO and CISO to develop a PQC migration roadmap immediately. Inventory all cryptographic systems, identify all government and defense contracts with forthcoming security requirements, and begin engaging with vendors like Microchip, NXP, and Fortinet on their PQC solutions. The 2030 deadline is not that far away for a transition of this magnitude.
A lot to digest this week, Troy. It feels like the quantum industry just shifted into a higher gear. What are the three key takeaways for our listeners?
First, the security threat is immediate, even if the computers are not. The harvest now, decrypt later risk is real. The White House's 2030 PQC deadline is a clear signal. Your action is to begin your post-quantum cryptography migration plan now. Don't wait.
Second, the manufacturing landscape is changing.
Correct. The demonstration of quantum chips being built on standard CMOS lines by Dirac and IMEC is a game changer. It lowers the barrier to entry and integrates quantum into the existing semiconductor supply chain. Your action is to assess how your company can participate, whether as a material supplier, an equipment provider, or a manufacturing partner.
And finally, the race to a useful machine is accelerating.
Microsoft's new 2029 target for a fault-tolerant computer is aggressive. This means the timeline for quantum to impact R&D in materials, pharmaceuticals, and complex logistics is shrinking. Your action is to create a small, dedicated team to identify the most valuable problems quantum could solve for your business and start building expertise on cloud platforms. The time for passive observation is over.
A pivotal week for technology and strategy. That's all the time we have for this edition of Troy Technical Intelligence. Join us again next week for your essential briefing.
We'll be here to help you separate the signal from the noise.
To make sure you don't miss it, please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.